From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Drivers working for the rideshare companies Uber and Lyft held a 25-hour strike in Los Angeles starting on March 25th, protesting Uber's decision to cut driver pay yet again. The significance of the strike date and length is to reflect the massive size of Uber drivers' pay cut by a quarter. Meanwhile, in San Francisco, on the same day, drivers protested outside an investor meeting in preparation for Lyft's public offering. Both Uber and Lyft are preparing to launch IPOs as their value balloons into the tens of billions of dollars. Drivers say they won't tolerate the poverty-level wages working for tech companies that have capitalized on turning workers into independent contractors. My guest is James Hicks. He's a rideshare driver and an organizer with the group Rideshare Drivers United. Welcome to the program, James.
Thank you for having me.
So first, tell me a little bit about you and which company you work for and what happened on Monday in Los Angeles.
Well, I'm an Uber driver full time. I also work with Rideshare Drivers United as a press contact. I've been involved with the industry for about 4 years, 3 years now, and I've been working with RDU for about 4 or 5 months. The strike that happened was in retaliation to the March 11th pay cut that we got, the 25% pay cut, and drivers decided that we're not going to take it anymore. We are tired. And we're trying to fight back against what we know are unfair wages.
So Uber, I understand, has now for the second time cut pay. Give us a sense of what that means. So say you have a ride that you give and the person riding pays you $50. What's your take home?
Well, they vary. We don't understand necessarily how Uber or Lyft decide to take our fares, but we know that once we look at them, we have a breakdown of the pay. And we can see sometimes that Uber takes 40%, sometimes they take 50%, other times they take as much as 60%. And it's really hard to tell which, rides that they're going to do it on, but we know that it's happening. We can see it in our paychecks. Sometimes if somebody will pay a $50 fare, I may end up with $24 or maybe $30. So it's a lot.
What is the situation between drives? You basically, is there any basic hourly wage that you are guaranteed? I understand that in New York, there has been a successful push to guarantee a minimum $17 and change per hour for rideshare drivers. That's not the case outside New York?
No. We are fighting. Those are one of the things that Rideshare Drivers United are definitely fighting for. At this present time, there is not a 28-hour minimum fare like it is in New York.
So the situation then for drivers like you is probably pretty difficult. How are drivers struggling? Can you give us a sense of those people who showed up on Monday in Los Angeles at this protest during the 25-hour strike? What are some of the conditions that they face?
Drivers are struggling a myriad of different ways. Some drivers are on public assistance, some drivers are homeless, and other drivers, they just can't provide for their families like they used to. So it's varying different levels of struggling right now. I'm one of the drivers who I actually happen to have, I'm married, and my wife actually works. So I'm struggling to, bring in my fair share of this arrangement, my marriage, right? I'm struggling to bring in that fair share. But we have other drivers who, they may be on public assistance. They may be on welfare. We have one particular driver who's also an organizer, and he's homeless right now.
Wow. So how do you respond when you hear that Lyft has been valued at $23 billion? These companies, Uber and Lyft, are getting their IPOs ready. They are, they hit upon a very interesting idea for convenient taxi rides, basically. And are minting money, but drivers like you are the ones on whose back they're minting that money.
Yeah, when I hear, that Uber is evaluated at $125 billion and Lyft is at $23 billion, It's really kind of infuriating when they don't pay us livable wages. Sometimes it's starvation wages. A lot of times our drivers, they're not able to, you know, just make it. It's not a livable or sustainable or a dignified wage like it used to be. And when I hear that these companies are worth the amount of money that they're worth, and when I also hear stories about how the CEOs are being paid all this much money, to me, it's just greed, unfettered greed. And somebody needs to step in and stop it. And that's what RDU is here to do.
And that's Ride Share Drivers United. Now, the rhetoric that you hear from the spokespeople, from the executives working for these tech companies, for Uber and Lyft, is often spun as if it's to benefit their workers and their drivers. So, for example, Uber said that it introduced these rate changes and these driver promotions along with these rate changes, said that these will make rates comparable to where they were in September while giving drivers more control over how they earn by allowing them to build a model that fits their schedule best. And then drivers said, well, this is essentially a pay cut. Often you just hear, you know, these companies pretend as though they actually care about their workers.
That's exactly what they're doing. They are pretending. There is no need for them to rework the pay cut or rework our pay to cut it as massively as they've done, and then pretend that it's something that we can use to change our work habits or allow us to work more efficiently. We all set our own schedules. Everyone who is involved with ride sharing knows exactly how it works. We all are able to dictate our own schedule. So there's no amount of pay cuts that can, you know, get us to have a different schedule or get us to be comparable to what we were. Back in September, the rate of pay, it still wasn't great. I believe it was 80 cents. It still was something that we were fighting against. Rideshare drivers, we have been uniting because the pay has been substantially cut for about 7 years since the program was introduced. So that's really what we're fighting against. And there's nobody's trying to take it back to what it was, to being comparable back in September. We want it more comparable to what it was several years ago. Back in September, it was still a struggle for many drivers to make ends meet, you know?
And a part of the business model of these companies, of course, is that they offer rides to riders at rates that are usually below what a traditional taxi ride would cost. And of course, it's more convenient because you can do it on your phone and don't have to carry cash. But then, of course, so they're undercutting cab companies. But then the drivers like yourself are getting a small percentage of something that's already small, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So, for instance, when Uber introduced UberX 7 or 8 years ago, the pay rate was $3.25 per mile. And at the time, it was comparable with taxis and then Lyft as well. And so now it's 60 cents. It's an 82% drop in pay. You know, that's a massive cut. Now, I don't know what taxi drivers are getting right now, but I'm pretty sure it's not anywhere close to 60 cents. There's a way where Uber can make money, where the passengers can pay fairly, and where drivers can make a profit to provide for themselves, and they can be competitive with taxi cabs and other ride sharing companies. I don't think that that's what we're talking about right here. I think what we're talking about right now is the fact that Uber and Lyft are being extremely greedy, and it's no longer just about staying competitive with each other. No longer about staying competitive against taxi cab companies. It's about their greed and how they're trying to penny pinch from their workforce.
So when these companies go public, which is set to happen this year, and of course they've offered in their efforts to sound worker-friendly, they've offered workers to benefit from the IPOs. But when that happens, the founders, the executives, the top investors are going to reap billions of dollars in new wealth that they're going to be sitting on. How important is the timing of the Monday strike and, in general, the organizing that Rideshare Drivers United is doing with these IPOs? Is this an important organizing moment for you?
Absolutely. Any time where we can scare investors, scare Uber and Lyft into, you know, reevaluating their way of going about the IPO is always going to be a good look for drivers. We're just trying to make livable, dignified wages. And we understand that Uber and Lyft, they have this opportunity for themselves to make even more billions. And honestly, no one is trying to stop that. Nobody wants to stop a company from making as much money as they can. What we want to stop is the fact that they are stealing from their workforce. We want to stop this neo-indentured servitude. We want to stop them from exploiting and taking advantage of their workforce. Make as much money as you can. God bless you, but do not steal from your workforce. Don't have people living on public assistance. Don't have people who are homeless, and don't have people who can't necessarily provide for their families the way they used to. There's a fine balance, and that's all we're trying to achieve. We're trying to strike a fine balance.
So explicitly, what is RDU, your organization, asking for? Is there sort of short-term demand in terms of going back to the kinds of pay rate you were saying earlier? And is there a longer-term demand that you feel would ensure the dignity of Uber and Lyft workers?
Absolutely. So I think in the immediate, we want that 25% back. We definitely want that back. That'll make, you know, a job that's already really hard on our drivers a little easier. But in the long term, we want $28 an hour per minimum. We want a process where drivers can, when they're deactivated, so that they can have representation. We want to be paid for our wait at the airport. That's another important issue. We have a whole list of Bill of Rights that we've delivered to the governor, and we're hoping to have all of them met. Honestly, we want all of them met. We have a very long list.
So you mentioned the governor. Let's talk about Gavin Newsom, newly seated. He's only been in the job for a few months, touting himself as a progressive. He's taken action on some issues in California. What has his position been on rideshare companies? Because, of course, often political leaders want to not scare away the tech companies that they see as benefiting the state.
Yeah. I'm not sure what his position is all the way. I know that he's walking a fine line between tech and labor. Our organization, we should be meeting with somebody really soon so we can discuss what we can achieve with the governor. But outside of that, there's not much that I can say about what his stance may or may not be.
So what do you also expect from drivers in general? Was there a good turnout on Monday for this 25-hour strike that you held? Did you feel like there was enough sort of solidarity across all drivers? Did enough people show up, or do you feel like more could have showed up? I mean, there's always a fine line when you have a strike, especially when you're talking about workers making poverty level wages. It's a choice between standing up for their rights versus, you know, trying to make ends meet.
I want to say that for me personally, I couldn't be more prouder than our drivers. So many more people than I thought was going to show up showed up. I think we had a turnout of about 350 people. And I believe all 2,800 people who are a part of our network, I believe they all struck. And I know that people struck, they striked down in San Diego. They also striked in San Francisco. So we had a major turnout, and we're very happy with the way that things went. After the strike, I think about 700 more people showed up into our network. So now we have about 3,500 people. Our network is growing very strong, very fast. And we know that if we continue movements like this, that more drivers will show up. And the bigger that our crowd gets, the louder that our voices get, it's the harder it is for people to ignore us.
Do you have any sense of how riders responded to the strike? I'm not sure how much the news got out that rideshare drivers were going on strike, but I'm wondering if the apps themselves saw any drops in ride requests from people maybe wanting to express solidarity with you and your colleagues.
Well, honestly, I don't have those kinds of numbers. I can tell you anecdotally, though, that a friend of mine who normally takes Uber to work, she asked me to take her to work on Monday so that I could, so that she could participate in her own little way. So, and then there was another person who I think it took 15 minutes for her to get an Uber ride. That woman works at my wife's office. So I think there's been a lot of solidarity between people who are riders, standing with the drivers. When I've had conversations with my own riders and expressing to them exactly what we've been working on, what we've been doing, it's been nothing but positive feedback. A lot of people are standing with us because they understand. I believe that many people are in these kind of positions, you know, even in their own industries. So, for instance, I think, you know, Walmart riders would support what we're doing because they're having a problem with their own CEOs and how little they're getting paid, or Disney workers, you know, they're going through the same thing. Amazon workers. I mean, there's a bunch of people who are being exploited, and Uber and Lyft rideshare drivers, we transport them all. And so when we express the situation that we're going through, they can relate and they stand in solidarity with us. And we, in turn, we stand in solidarity with them.
And in fact, somebody who has been working hard on getting Amazon to pay its workers a fair share, Senator Bernie Sanders, expressed his support for the 25-hour strike that your organization started on Monday.
Yes, that's huge. That's huge. I'm personally a really big fan of Bernie Sanders. And so I was thrilled to see him tweet that and share it on his presidential campaigns on social media. Those kinds of things, they're huge boosts. He's the most popular politician in the country right now. And I'm also one of the people who donated to his campaign, and I help him to smash the record and make $6 million in 24 hours. So, you know, to see somebody that I support, you know, financially, his campaign, for him to turn around and share our articles or stand with us, you know, it just really proves that he is a man of the people, that he is standing for the things that he's saying that he stands for.
And then finally, are there ways in which you, your organization can make links with other Uber and Lyft rideshare drivers around the country and maybe even around the world, because workers for these same companies have been struggling and also have been organizing in their own ways around the country and have seen varying levels of success and in other countries as well, in Europe, in Mexico. So are there some sort of cross state and cross country or cross border links that you can make with other workers?
Well, officially, there's nothing official. We have not reached out to anybody cross state. However, I have heard rumblings of a Rideshare Drivers United happening out in D.C. And I know that there is something in San Diego and possibly San Francisco. So even though we're starting locally, even though we're starting mainly in L.A. and then we're expanding to San Fran and San Diego, this is a movement that is not, you know, something that's going to be only for Californians. We are planning to unite rideshare drivers throughout the entire country. And if I dare say it, throughout the world, if I can just, you know, think ambitiously for a moment, I think that as many people that is willing to join us and fight, and not just like join us, like this is our organization or our movement, but willing to fight together, you know, then there is nothing that we can't achieve. You know, the more people we have, the better. I can only imagine if, you know, instead of, you know, 3,000 or 300 people protesting, maybe it'd be 3 million people protesting across the country, maybe 30 million, maybe, you know, who knows? The sky is honestly the limit. So the more, the merrier.
Well, James, give out a website for Rideshare Drivers United.
www.drivers-united.org.
And we'll link to that from our website.
Yeah. There's a place for both drivers and riders to link up.
Oh, great. Well, thank you so much and good luck to you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Sonali.
James Hicks is a rideshare driver and Uber driver, and he's also an organizer with Rideshare Drivers United. We've been discussing the reasons for the 25-hour strike that began on Monday of this week. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.